Tom, I'll be using this mic this morning, just so you know. Put this one on, the batteries are dead. Don't know what happened. Put new, brand new batteries in it this morning. Never know what's going to happen with technology, but you just kind of have to roll with it, right?
Yeah.
We've been going through a new series called Rooted. This is our third week. Went throughout planting, and that was a series about going out and planting the seed. And this series is about digging the roots down deep. It's all about the spiritual disciplines, and the spiritual disciplines are merely a way for us to put ourselves before God and allow Him to work in our lives to change us to become or to be more like Him. We have a theme verse that is kind of going along with the series, and it comes from the book of Colossians. Would you say this verse along with me this morning? Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We talked about that verse the first week about being rooted in the faith, being rooted and built up and established in the faith. Last week we talked about prayer, and Randy came to me this morning. He said, well, I thought you were going to continue on about prayer last week because you had so much in the handout. And I made the joke last week that we were going to get done around Tuesday. There was a lot, and there is a lot on each one of these topics. I'm kind of only giving you a small glimpse, but I hope that glimpse will encourage you to go deeper, will encourage you to go farther in studying more about each one of them. This morning, we're going to talk about the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. It's interesting, I was looking up some facts about the Bible. I want to tell you a few of those this morning. According to Guinness World Records, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time with over 5 billion with a B, copies sold and distributed. It is also the most commonly stolen book in the world. Isn't that? It is the most read and highlighted book of all time. It has inspired more songs and poetry than any other. Because of the words of this book, kingdoms have risen and fallen. It is outlawed in some countries, but can be found free in hotel and motel rooms. That's partially why it's the most stolen book, because it's free in hotel and motel rooms. The smallest version can fit on the tip of a pen. The largest version weighs almost 1,100 pounds and is 4 foot by 8 foot. Paul, as he is writing about the Bible in the book of Ephesians, calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit, and it is to be worn as an offensive weapon daily. The author of the book of Hebrews says this about the word of God. He says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What does living and active mean? God's word is not stagnant. It is not dead or even dying. His words are active. These same words, the words of God, work to change our heart and our mind. They can penetrate the heart easier than the sharpest two-edged sword. His word can shine a spotlight on our deceptive thoughts. That same word can also shine a spotlight on our best intentions. It is the ultimate truth and authority for our lives. It has the answer to all of life's major questions. God's word is reliable. His word is without error. His word is powerful. The Bible tells us that even if heaven and earth pass away, his word will endure forever. The question's often asked, and I've heard it said, why would you read a book that has such ancient texts? It has no relevance for any part of life. But this book has the most relevance for all of life from beginning to end, because these words, the words that are in this book, the words that are in the Bible, have the ability to bring life from death. If you haven't guessed it yet, we're talking about God's word this morning. We're talking about how to interact with this book. We have a book, but what do you do with it? How do you look at God's word? Do you come to it in the morning and go, okay, what do you have for me this morning, God? All right, we're going to turn to John chapter 12, verse 16. It's funny where I just landed. His disciples did not understand these things at first. That's where I landed. And you go, okay, God, that's what today's going to be about. I'm not going to understand these things. Sometimes we need a process, and there are methods for interacting with God's word, things that you can do. You can read God's word. There are ways to go through God's word. I have a way that I go through God's word right now, and it's historically. And so it's called As It Happened. And so you read through God's word, and the people have put it together, so you're reading it according to how the events happen throughout Scripture. And you can do that in a year. There are other plans that'll take you through the Bible in a year. There are devotions that we have out there that you can look at and use as part of your daily life. But just reading God's word, and that's probably the most common of what people do, is reading God's word. Memorizing God's word. The Bible says we should fix God's word in our hearts and our minds. It should be fixed there. And I think we have Bible memory that we use here at the church, and I think it's a great program. It's a great program. Going to be starting up in this fall. As an adult here, if you want to be involved in Bible memory, be great to get that mind going again, memorizing those verses, getting that word fixed in your hearts and your minds, studying God's word. Studying God's word, digging deeper, finding out what is there and why, and then meditating on God's word. We're going to focus on the last two this morning. I figured I probably didn't need to tell you how to read. You probably don't need to know how to read God's word. We talked a little bit about that. Memorizing God's word, I think that's kind of self-explanatory too. Some of us have an easier time memorizing than others, but it's still kind of self-explanatory. But studying and meditating on God's word. The purpose of studying God's word is to understand the original intent that the author meant for those receiving it. What the author wrote and why he wrote what he wrote to the people he wrote it to. The Bible was written through the Spirit of God who worked in human authors. The Bible says God's word is breathed out. And they wrote exactly what he wanted them to pen. What he wanted them to write down. Those authors included shepherds, kings, farmers, priests, poets, scribes, fishermen, traitors, embezzlers, adulterers, and murderers. But they were all inspired by God to write his words. It was written in three different languages. It was written in Hebrew, it was written in Aramaic, and it was written in Greek. And it was written to audiences across Asia, Africa, and Europe. So sometimes there are things in God's word that we might have a hard time understanding. It's now 2,000 years later. More than that for some of the Old Testament. Could be looking at 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. Do you think things were a little different 6,000 to 8,000 years ago, possibly? So sometimes we need to look and understand things. I'm going to use an example, and I actually use this with the teens this morning as well. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew obviously was written by one of Jesus' disciples named Matthew. He wrote in a context of writing to Jewish people and trying to tell them about who Jesus was. That's part of the context of the book of Matthew, but we're just going to look at a small part. I appreciate Jack going through the Beatitudes. That's the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, and the whole context is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is standing there, and he begins teaching. And if I had to teach three chapters, I think I would take a little bit longer probably than what Jesus did. But Jesus stands there, and he's up on a mountain, and he teaches. And so he just stands there, and he begins to say these things. And afterwards, God provided the memory so that they could write all of this down, because they didn't have notes put in front of them where they could jot things and scribble. So God provided that they remembered the words of Jesus. And these are the things he wrote. And so we come to the passage that we're going to look at this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. And Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." From a studying perspective, what is this passage saying? We could read through it, and maybe we take a moment. We read through all of Matthew 5, let's say that was part of our devotions for today. And we read through Matthew 5, and we could probably just breeze over all of that. Those are all words that we read, and sometimes when you read things, you just read along, and you're like, okay, that was nice, and you read, and you go. But there are very interesting pieces in this that if you don't understand the culture, if you don't understand the context, you might not get what Jesus is saying here. That's part of studying God's word. First, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Does anybody know where that comes from? I don't see any hands. It's Old Testament somewhere. Okay, we know it comes from the Old Testament. Exodus. Exodus chapter 21. Again, this is part of the Old Testament. So context, Exodus, the nation of Israel was in Egypt. They're exiting. That's why it's called Exodus. And so they're exiting the nation of Egypt. God brings them out. They come to the mountain. He's giving Moses the Ten Commandments, chapter 20. Chapter 21, there's some more laws here. Chapter 21, verse 23, "But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." That's Exodus 21, 23 through 25. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said." A lot of times Jesus says that. "You have heard that it was said." That means it was said sometime. A lot of times that's Old Testament stuff. He didn't have to say, if you turn with me in your Bibles in Exodus chapter 22, and I'll give you the context here. Why? Because they knew the Old Testament. They had that memorized. Especially the laws of God, they knew it. And so when Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said," they're like, "Oh yeah, that's back there in Exodus. I know where Jesus is talking about." Now understand, they didn't have chapters and verses then either. So it wasn't like they could say, "Oh yeah, that's Exodus 21 verses 23 through 25. They knew, okay, that's in this part of Exodus. That's in the part of the law there right after God gave the Ten Commandments. So studying God's word, sometimes you have to follow the leads. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said. Well, where was this said? Let's find that out. Let's go and look and find the place where this is said. Use God's word. Whenever God's word gives you the answer for something, look for that answer first. Don't go to other books and other places. If Jesus gives a parable and then he describes the parable, go with Jesus' description on the parable. Because he's going to tell you exactly what he intended in that parable. And Jesus does that quite often as well. So you've heard that it was said, and he goes through that. But then he says, I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So if I walk up to Jack and I say, and I slap Jack, Jack's supposed to say, okay, here, hit me on the other side too. Is that what this is saying here? Not quite. I don't know if you guys remember the old movies. Do you remember when they would like take out a glove and they would slap the person? I asked the teens this and they had no idea what I was talking about. They would take out the glove and they would slap the other person. It was an insult. They were insulting them. Usually it happened and they were going to duel or something like that. But it was an insult. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If somebody slaps you on the right side of the face, if someone insults you, don't retaliate against them. They're probably going to insult you again. That might not seem fair, but that's the first example that Jesus gives. And then he says, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. All right, what's a tunic? What's a cloak? We don't really have those right now, do we? Well, the tunic was the shirt. It was what they wore underneath their jacket. The cloak was their jacket. It was the important thing. It was actually illegal. You couldn't sue anyone for their jacket. Why? Because if you did, they wouldn't have it and they would die because it got cold sometimes. So it was illegal to sue them for their jacket. But Jesus says, if they sue you for your shirt, the shirt off your back, give to them your jacket as well. Okay, let's continue on. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. All right, what is this talking about, Jesus? I don't get this. All right, just go the extra mile? Not exactly. The Romans controlled all of the nations around Israel and were over Israel. Roman centurions could take any civilian and say, you're going to carry my stuff. You're going to carry all my equipment, my shield, my sword. That was part of the law. They could require any civilian to do that. So all of a sudden, you're walking down the road minding your own business, and you pass a Roman centurion, and he's like, I'm tired. Here, carry my stuff. But guess what? They could only do that for a short distance. So Jesus says, if a Roman centurion comes to you, he passes you on the road, and let's say you're going opposite directions, you're going into town and he's coming out of town, and he says, I need you to carry my stuff. You're required by law to then carry his stuff a mile. And so you would go a mile out of your way and you would have to come a mile back because you're still heading into town because you need milk and bread, right? Those are important things. But Jesus says, don't just go 1 mile. Don't just go the required amount here. If you're sued for your jacket, don't just give them your shirt. Give them your jacket. If you're told to go 1 mile and carry the equipment, don't just go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Finally, Jesus says, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. I think those are contemporary enough. We understand the person on the street who's begging from you. We understand when people need things, and we can look at the early church and see how they provided for one another for those who had need. I think we can understand that. So we look at this and we dig a little deeper. We understand the context and we understand what that is saying. Now, did I get all of that out of my own head? Did I just come up with those things? Did I go, oh man, I think this is what this says? No. I got a book out. I still use these old-fashioned things. I have a whole office full of them. They're paper, they're all together, and they're about subjects. This one's about the Sermon on the Mount from D.A. Carson. I looked up the verses, and I went and I read, and I went, okay, wow, there's some interesting stuff in here. There's some stuff that we as Americans living in our culture in 2018 might not get today. We might not quite understand. So here it is. So studying God's Word. There are tools you can use to study God's Word. One of them is the ESV, the English Standard Version Study Bible. If you don't have one, it'd be good to have one in your household because it has notes at the bottom, not inspired notes, but men who have done the historical research and understand the text. They know Hebrew and Greek, and they know the original languages, and they've thought about the context. They've written little blurbs about the verses, and they put those down below. And so you can read about some of this stuff in a study Bible. So look for a good study Bible. Have one in your house. You don't necessarily, I don't carry a study Bible up here with me because they're a little big. They're a little clunky to carry around all the time, but it'd be good to have one in your house so when you have a question, you can go and look up and read. A lot of times there's cross references as well, and so my Bible has numbers, and you can look at the numbers and you can say, oh man, this verse is tied back to this verse. So let's go back and read the verse. Again, if God's Word describes itself, let's use God's Word first. And so God's Word, look at those things. A lot of Bibles have topics in the back, mine does, or maps, so you can understand more about His Word. Studying God's Word is all about answering some questions. Who, where, what, when, why, and how? Who is involved in this? As you read a passage, just like the one we're reading today, Jesus is preaching, but who's He preaching to back in verse 1? Seeing the crowds. There's a whole crowd of people here that we know about. Where is this happening? Well, we know it's a sermon on a mountain. We don't know exactly what mount this is. I did some research on that, and it's inconclusive. They don't know, and sometimes you're going to come up with that. But is that an important thing to find out? Is that going to change God's Word if we don't know exactly where this sermon happened? I don't think so. What is going on in this? And so we dug a little deeper and we looked. When is this happening? What time of year is it? Maybe it was winter time. And so what kind of conditions usually happened at this place at this time? Why is Jesus saying these things? So He's sitting there and He's teaching them how. How does this apply? How can I take this and use it in the upcoming week? You need to ask good questions to the text. This is something that I was taught. When you're reading through, ask questions. If you read a word like you read tunic and cloak and you go, okay, I kind of have an idea. Those must be clothing. But let's find out exactly what those are. Ask questions of the text. When you don't know something, look it up. Jack this morning, look for a dictionary. Look it up. Find the answers. Maybe there's events. In the Old Testament, there's all sorts of festivals and things. Janine, actually, I think it was last year, you were teaching our teens about all the festivals and different things that the nation of Israel does. And so understand those things. Do a study and find out more about those. Studying God's Word helps it become alive. It helps us understand why it was originally written and why the things are there. Meditating on God's Word. So we talked about studying God's Word, meditating on God's Word. Psalm chapter 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." There's this meditation that's different than just reading God's Word, that's different than memorizing God's Word, that's different than studying God's Word, but it's meditating. What does it look like to meditate on God's Word? There are lots of places that I would love to go. I'd love to go on vacation to Hawaii or Australia or Scotland or all the biblical sites. I would love to go to all of those places. I think it would be fascinating to see some of the places and to go where Jesus walked. Now, I can study about those places. There are lots of books, travel books, that'll tell me all sorts of neat things about those places. There's the internet now. It's a wonderful tool. You can go on the internet and you can watch, I know, I'm kind of being dumb here, but you can go on the internet and you can watch videos. And you can almost act like you're there. I mean, they can show you all the sites and you can do all this stuff, but is it the same as going there? Would you rather watch a video about Hawaii or be sitting on a beach in Hawaii? Okay, you get my point. Studying God's word is one thing. Studying, you get to know it. Meditating it is like really being there. Not just being there, but it being inside of you. Let me explain a little bit more. The differences of being in an actual place is you experience it. You no longer just have it in your mind. It's no longer just an image that you have, but you feel the weather. You smell the scents. You hear the sounds. You can look where you want to look and not just where the video person goes. You experience it all yourself. You could touch it. You could feel it. You could be a part of it. The same is true of God's word. The same is true of God's word. You can read through it and sometimes just glaze over things. You can study it and know the parts of it, but maybe it hasn't penetrated. Remember, God's word is living and active, and it'll penetrate better than a sharp two-edged sword, it says. Maybe it hasn't penetrated yet. Meditating helps God's word penetrate your heart and your life. It helps us experience that living and active nature of God's word. It moves us from just studying it to actually participating with it. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. But you shall meditate on it day and night." The book of James says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." That's James 1:22. So let's think about the passage that we looked at in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 again. Matthew chapter 5, same verses. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him take your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Hopefully you have different images rolling through your mind now, because we've talked about the context. We've talked about what is in this text. You might even know what they mean. Maybe you've thought through how these might apply, but have you actually applied them? Have you applied them while sitting in your seats here today? If you have, you're doing really good. Not quite yet. Okay. So how do we get to the point of taking God's word, reading it, and knowing more than just what the words say, but actually doing it? I think meditation is what that is. Meditation allows God's word to penetrate the everyday moments, of our lives. So what does this look like? Let's say this is the passage you're meditating on, Matthew chapter 5. You've read this passage this week. Maybe you've even done a little studying on this passage. And now it's just sitting in there. It's kind of like a cow. A cow ruminates. It ruminates its cud. It rechews things. Kind of gross. But it's kind of what we do with God's word. Is it just, it kind of churns in there. And you take what God's word said, and as situations come up, as things happen in life, you go, how do I apply this to what's going on? So maybe there's some moments that happen in your life like these. You get to work and you begin to hear that the person who worked underneath you and was hired 2 years ago, 2 years after you, is now going to be your boss. You go to the store and the person in front of you takes the last gallon of milk just as you were about to reach for it. You are let go from your job, but you aren't given any adequate explanation. You are standing in line at McDonald's, and someone cuts in front of you in line. You were pulled over for speeding when someone just whizzed past you 3 minutes ago. You were teased and picked on by your classmates or coworkers. Do these verses say anything about any of those topics? If we're meditating on God's word, we're thinking through what Jesus says here. He says, do not resist the one who is evil. But God, these things aren't fair. God, these things don't feel right. God, I didn't deserve that. But what does God say to do? Jesus is saying in this passage, we're not to be exacting revenge. We're not to be retaliating. We're not to be retaliating for when things happen to us. We are to be demonstrating God's love. Read down from me, with me verse 43. You have heard that it was said, again, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. What is Jesus saying? Now remember, there weren't sections, there weren't verses, there weren't chapters in the Bible. This all flows one to the other. Jesus is saying, don't retaliate. Next section, he's saying, you need to love one another. Even your enemies, even the people you don't like, even the people that smell bad, ooh, even the people that walk up to you and ask for money, you need to love them, Jesus said. Even the Roman centurions who are forcing you to carry all their equipment 1 mile, you need to love them. So what's your response in the situations? Maybe your response is to congratulate your coworker on their promotion. Maybe you see God's hand in relocating you to a different company. Maybe you decide that you didn't really need the milk this week. Maybe you ask the person in front of you if it's okay if you pay for their meal. Maybe you thank the officer for doing his job and keeping the roads safe. Or maybe you pray for those who are teasing you and you buy them a present the next time you're in a store. Wow. Those don't sound like easy things. Why? Because our natural response is not to do this. Because our natural sin nature says, I want to hurt you because you just hurt me. I want to cause you pain because you just caused me pain. It's the I want to hurt, cause, take out your eye because you just took out my eye. I want to hurt your tooth because you just hurt my tooth. Jesus is saying, you have heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but there's a different way. There's a higher calling that you have now. And it sounds backwards. It sounds backwards from what we might think. But this is God's word penetrating our hearts, penetrating our minds, and going deeper than just reading over it. So studying and meditating allows us to take God's word, to better understand its original context, and then apply it. Not just during the easy times, but during some of the toughest moments in life. when you're dealing with that situation that doesn't seem fair, is when God's word will pop into your mind and go, okay, how should you really respond in this moment? So what do we do this week? How do we take this morning? How do we take studying God's word? How do we take meditating on God's word and actually apply it? Well, pick a passage. Pick a passage this week. Maybe you decide you want to study more about the Sermon on the Mount. So pick part of the Sermon on the Mount. Pick a section. My Bible has some great sections. It talks about the salt and the light. It talks about anger. Talks about oaths, talks about the section we talked about this morning, retaliation. There's the Lord's Prayer in there, which we talked about some last week. Talks about not being anxious. Maybe take a section of that. Decide, I'm going to study this section. Find a book about it. Read through that section. And then read through it maybe 3 or 4 times this week. And just allow God's word to keep ruminating, to keep circling in your mind throughout the rest of the week. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that is true, your word that helps us, your word that guides us, your word that gives us instructions. God, help us to do more than just read it. Help us to do more than just understand it, but God, help us to apply it. Help your words to remain in our hearts and our minds so that when situations arise, they come up and it's more than just responding with our own nature, but we're responding with the nature, the new nature, the new self that you have given us, so that we can respond in a manner that is loving and that is kind and that is thoughtful and is what you have called us to, God. Father, I pray that our lives would reflect how you command us to live. God, we pray these things in your name. Amen.